On tonight's show, our group play preview for the 2024 NBA Cup.
Greer putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it. Over his man, Joe. Havlicek's all alone. It's all over.
Will the Lakers repeat as champs? What to make of West Group C? Can Cleveland or Boston win in the East? And much more to come. Yes, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Crossover Across Time podcast for the third of our three episodes on this Monday, as we're getting caught up from, you know, last week where we didn't have any episodes and I was dealing with sickness. If you've listened to the previous two episodes, you've heard it all before, so I won't bore you with the details. First of all, I'm your host, Carsten Kiel. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, both previous listeners and brand new listeners alike. Thank you for tuning in. We really can't thank you enough for your support on the show. As we mentioned, yes, we had two episodes earlier today to get fully caught up. We've done our full coverage for everything up through last night's action, so we're going to be back to a normal schedule after tonight's episodes. But our last episode tonight here today, this very episode you're listening to, is our group play preview, with group games beginning tomorrow night for the 2024 NBA Cup, the second ever series of this new NBA Cup, formerly the in-season tournament. We're just going to take a quick moment here and preview each of the groups and what to expect from them. So it's going to be a shorter episode probably than what we had with our first two episodes earlier today, but it should still be a great one for you here. And again, before we get into that, let's quickly talk about the schedule going forward now that we have our three episodes of the day out of the way. This week and the next week should be fairly normal, with some bonus episodes thrown in to help us get caught up a little bit on our franchise focus coverage. If you've been a longtime listener, you know that we do franchise focus for all 30 franchises in the NBA, but there's only 25 weeks at this current point in a NBA regular season. And so we have some bonus episodes to make sure that we are covering all the franchises during the regular season. So that's the reason for having a bonus episode there, a couple of those throughout the year. And then the following week after next week, which will be the week of Thanksgiving, we'll do a Monday episode and then a short Tuesday episode before we take a break there to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. So just a quick friendly reminder there about our schedule for that Thanksgiving weekend. And then after that, we'll get back into a normal schedule for most of December until we, of course, get into Christmas, New Year's, that holiday season as well. So with that being said, let's go ahead and jump right into the group play preview here. And we're going to start with the East groups. And I'll just have it on screen for you here, the full schedules for each group. You can see it by team when it's going on. And it may be a little bit tougher to see the exact dates. But of course, this information is plenty available on the NBA's website, through their social media channels. They are pushing this hard, of course, as the new big excitement in the league still. It's still a very fresh event, I suppose. And so with that being said, let's get into the first group. We're talking about East Group A here. The teams in this group: Philadelphia 76ers, Charlotte Hornets, New York Knicks, Orlando Magic, and Brooklyn Nets. Interesting to note, if you look at the records for these teams, each of these teams against all the other four teams last season. We do have that information. For example, the Knicks had a 12-4 record against the combination of Sixers, Magic, Nets, and Hornets last year. They had the best record of any of these five teams in last season's, you know, regular season combined play. Sixers were 10 and well, actually, it might be regular season and postseason now that I say that, because the Knicks and Sixers have played more games here than some other teams, but maybe not. Actually, it might be regular season. So Knicks had the most wins against these teams last year, then the Sixers and the Magic, then Nets and Hornets. I think there'll be a slight difference there this year. Some of the big storylines going into this, of course, the Knicks and the Sixers renewing last year's intense playoff series. They'll be playing in this matchup. That's one of the first notable games. Sixers hosting the Knicks tomorrow night as part of the kickoff of group play. We also have the Battle of the Boroughs coming later. The Brooklyn Nets hosting the New York Knicks. That'll be on November 15th. And then also, what can the Magic do defensively in this group? We can make note as well of the Knicks hosting the Magic. And that will be on December 3rd. So Knicks are going to be at the forefront of a lot of these storylines for East A because they're the Knicks. And you'll also get that with the Sixers and their star power. It's an intriguing group. I would think that out of those five teams that probably the Knicks would win that, followed closely by the Magic and maybe the Sixers if they can get Embiid back relatively soon. They do have Paul George. But I think this is probably the Knicks group to win. They seem the most strong and the most healthy, certainly, of these teams, especially when you compare it, compare that to Philadelphia and Orlando. Charlotte's interesting now, of course, with LaMelo and Brandon Miller emerging the way they are this year so far. Hornets not winning that much, but they're an interesting team. They've won some nice games, and so they could be, you know, a small note of a wild card whiff. Wouldn't put too much money on that, though. Interesting group there, though, in East Group A. Let's go to East Group B. And this is a very Central Division-flavored group here. We have the Milwaukee Bucks, Indiana Pacers, and Detroit Pistons, all from the Central Division. Of course, we also have the Miami Heat and Toronto Raptors in there as well for a couple of other Eastern Conference flavors. Excuse me. And, you know, outside of that division and those storylines, there's a lot of rivalries here, both past and present. Pacers and Pistons, you think of the early 2000s, there was some intense heated rivalries there. So that's always a bit of a storyline. More recently, Bucks and Heat in the playoffs, and also Bucks-Pacers in the playoffs. One of our first notable games, November 22nd, the Bucks will host the Pacers in a rematch of both last year's in-season tournament, but of course also the playoffs. Last year's first-round playoffs, the Pacers victorious in both the in-season tournament game and the playoff series. We'll see if the Bucks, especially with their woeful start to the year, their free fall, if they can rebound. And then, of course, I'm also noting the Detroit Pistons hosting the Milwaukee Bucks on December 3rd, one of the last games of group play. Where are these two teams going to be at? Are the Bucks going to be rebounding at that point, doing better? Are the Pistons still going to be showing some of the promise they've shown up to this point in the season? It's a very intriguing group. You know, you look at the wins and win percentage last year. The Pistons, by far the worst team of the group last year, winning only two of the 15 games played among these teams last season. I think that's not going to quite be the case this year. I think the Raptors are more likely to be in that kind of a situation. And Pistons, like the Hornets, a very, very small chance, you know, real quiet outside chance they could be whiffing that wild card spot. Again, wouldn't put a lot of money in that. More likely, I think the Pacers are looking strongest out of this group. Either Pacers or maybe Heat sliding in there, and whoever doesn't win would be the wild card. Bucks should be there too, but, you know, it's hard to really be faithful in that team at this moment with the way they're playing. So that would be my quick thoughts on East Group B. Let's go to East Group C. And this is quite the group. We've got the Chicago Bulls, Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston Celtics, along with the Atlanta Hawks and Washington Wizards for that Southeast Division flavor. And you've got the Celtics and the Cavs, the two most dominant teams in the NBA so far this season. That's sensational to have them in this same group. Along with them in the teams in the Hawks and the Wizards, you have a couple of young rising rookie stars and Frenchmen, Zachary Richey and Alex Sarr. That should be an intriguing storyline. That's my first notable game. November 15th, Atlanta Hawks host the Washington Wizards for the matchup of those two young French stars in group play. So that should be a great matchup. And then, of course, I do have November 19th's date to the Boston Celtics hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Can the Cavaliers make their way to that game still unbeaten? And if so, would the Celtics be able to upset them, dethrone them? Both these teams were great last year as well. They were they won more than 70% of their games last season against all the other teams in this group. So it's either got to be Celtics or Cavs winning this group. With the way the Cavs are playing, I would be inclined to say they can win this group, but it certainly wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics won it. Whoever doesn't win it should be the wild card. I'd be very surprised. You know, Bulls have some moxie, but I'd be surprised if either Bulls, Hawks, or Wizards, were able to steal a wild card spot here. Again, remember, if you're not remembering the exact format, the winner of each group in each conference gets those three winners are three of the four spots in the actual tournament itself. The final spot is one wild card from the remaining Eastern Conference teams. So the most likely wild card in the entire East is going to be whoever doesn't win out of Celtics or Cavaliers. That seems most likely to me. You could throw Miami in there or Indiana or even Milwaukee, depending on how East Group B shakes out. But I would kind of pick loosely Knicks out of Group A. You've got, you know, Pacers maybe out of B, especially with what they did in last year's tournament. And then let's say Cavaliers out of C with Celtics as a wild card, perhaps. That'd be a loose pick for the East groups there. So that's the East side of the in-season tournament, or not in-season tournament, NBA Cup. Now NBA Cup, formerly in-season tournament. Let's look at the West groups here. West Group A, we've got Los Angeles Clippers, Sacramento Kings, Houston Rockets, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Portland Trail Blazers. The Timberwolves, the most winning team among these teams last year, 11-3, winning nearly 80% of those games. Clippers and Rockets competitive, Kings as well, Trailblazers were not. Timberwolves and Kings, of course, great Western Conference teams right now, both 6-4, not counting Monday night's games. Rockets a talented group as well, though, so they could make this very interesting. A notable game to mark here, the only national broadcast of all of these West Group A games, surprisingly. The Minnesota Timberwolves hosting the Los Angeles Clippers on November 29th. Right on Thanksgiving weekend there. I think this is an intriguing group here. Looking at these teams, it would be hard for me to bet against the Timberwolves, even though they're a little shakier starting the year, and the Kings have been good. I would probably pick Timberwolves to win this, especially since they didn't do as much last year in the in-season tournament. But then Kings should be a good team to bet on, too. Those are the top two teams in that mix, as well as the Rockets. Plenty of intrigue with that one. That's very much more up in the air compared to some of these other groups. Should be a good one. Going to West Group B, we've got the Utah Jazz, Los Angeles Lakers, San Antonio Spurs, Phoenix Suns, and Oklahoma City Thunder. And this is maybe one of the more intriguing groups as well. You could say that about all the West groups, especially with the way the Western Conference has started the year. Plenty of intrigue here. Thunder and Lakers both winning two-thirds of their games against the other teams in these, you know, in this group last season. Lakers, of course, the defending NBA Cup champions last year. Can they go back-to-back? They, of course, will have to face Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. That's our first notable game, November 15th, Spurs hosting the Lakers. Transcendent talents in LeBron James and Victor Wembanyama facing off, two very different points in their careers, of course, but should be a fantastic game. And then you've got two other teams that have been very, very good in the West in the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Phoenix Suns, both in the top three or four in that Western Conference, dealing with injuries, of course. Suns dealing with the loss of Kevin Durant, Thunder dealing with the prolonged loss of Chet Holmgren. So that will impact their abilities here. Worth noting, as long as he is able to be back, I know it's only a couple weeks that he's projected to miss. The Phoenix Suns hosting the Los Angeles Lakers on November 26th. Durant facing off against LeBron in Phoenix. Should be a great series. I mean, there's tons to talk about here. For me as a Jazz fan, I'm not going to be, you know, too crazy here. I don't think the Jazz are going to be even sniffing a wild card spot in this group. I think that there's too much talent in this group for the Jazz to really have a run. It would be fun for them to do that, but I don't think it's going to quite happen. I would pick still, despite the injury troubles, the Thunder being able to pull that out. They've got great coaching staff. They've got great depth, being able to win this group. And then with what the Lakers did last year, you know, it's hard to bet against them for a wild card, you know, contention, but I'd probably say the Suns with the way they've started as well. They'll be without Durant, but they've still got Booker and Beal, and they've got great point guard play. They've shored up that question for their team. So I would go Thunder winning it, Suns as a, you know, a wild card contender. And then finally, West Group C, mentioned them in the open. This is, to me, the most intriguing group, and it was when this was announced, and it still is, most intriguing group in this year's NBA Cup. We've got the Memphis Grizzlies, Dallas Mavericks, Denver Nuggets, New Orleans Pelicans, and Golden State Warriors. And if the Pelicans weren't injured, this would be a home run, easily most intriguing group in this year's tournament. Because teams, the two teams that had losing records against the group last year, the Grizzlies were 5-10, the Warriors were 4-10. Those teams are both winning right now and have star level play from Stephen Curry and Ja Morant. Of course, Morant missing time with injury as well. But this is a tough group. Stars across the board: Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Steph Curry, Ja Morant when healthy. Pelicans have players in Zion if he can, you know, return sooner than later. There's all sorts of star power here and a lot of notable games. It starts off tomorrow night, November 12th, the Golden State Warriors hosting the Dallas Mavericks. Along with the Cup storylines, we also have Klay Thompson's return to Golden State, his first game in Golden State against his former team. They're going to celebrate him, and then they're going to have this Cup battle in these one of only four meaningful games for this Cup. It should be a great matchup. Then later on, November 22nd, the Denver Nuggets hosting the Dallas Mavericks, that classic matchup between the two great international players in Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic. And then on December 3rd, towards the end of group play, Denver Nuggets hosting the Golden State Warriors, two hot teams led by star players in Jokic and Curry. Should be a fantastic matchup. And of course, two recent champions coming out of the West, the Warriors in 2022, the Nuggets in 2023. Just, you know, an abundance of fantastic storylines in that West Group C. And that group's almost too close to call. With how the Warriors have started and how the fans could get behind them in a Cup, you know, situation, I think Warriors and Nuggets are going to be your top two teams in that group. I'd probably say Nuggets winning it, Warriors winning a wild card, and they may be the most, you know, likely, kind of similar to East Group C. The loser out of Nuggets or Warriors in terms of the group title would be perhaps the most strong choice for a wild card in the West. Looking back over it, out of West A, let's go with Timberwolves for me. Out of West Group B, we'll go with the Thunder. And then out of C, we'll go Nuggets. So Timberwolves, Thunder, Nuggets, with the Warriors snagging a wild card spot right at the beginning of December going into the knockout rounds. So there's the preview. Again, the schedule: East A, East B, and East C all on the screen. Looking at the schedule for tomorrow night, which tips off Cup play, we can see the Magic hosting the Hornets at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and also the Sixers hosting the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time for the two East Group A matchups. Then in East Group B, we have the Detroit Pistons hosting the Miami Heat at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, as also the Milwaukee Bucks host the Toronto Raptors at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, both those games in East Group B. We look at East Group C, and the Boston Celtics host the Atlanta Hawks at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for the first game in that group. Going over to the West and the schedule tomorrow, the West Group A tips off with the Portland Trailblazers hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. West Group B tipped off with the Utah Jazz hosting the Phoenix Suns at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That game on local TV, of course, KJazz in Utah. And then finally, the West Group C tipping off with the Golden State Warriors hosting the Dallas Mavericks at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That is the second of the national broadcasts. That one is on TNT. The first of the national broadcasts being that East Group A game between the 76ers and the New York Knicks at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. So super excited about this year's Cup. I was skeptical last year going into it, not knowing a lot about it, not sure if it was going to be, you know, too much of a gimmick. And The courts, of course, were a sore spot for me. They have brought back the courts this year. If you're not familiar, each team will have a, you know, unique, vibrant court that they'll play on for the group play stages when at home, of course. And they're still vibrant. They're much more well done, but I think they could still use some refinement. But regardless, once we got into it, it was a lot of fun, especially the idea that it's not going to impact the regular season much at all. It just gives us more intrigue and excitement in November. I think it's kind of a win-win. I'm excited to see how it goes this year. Should be another great series of games and eventually the tournament in December. So with that, that's the majority of the show. Let's go ahead and give you our This Day in History fact, our final of the three from November 11th, of course. Before we wrap things up today, not going back too far, just about 10 years in NBA history.
Right by Jameer Nelson in the lane. Ellis across the floor to Dirk. A rhythm jumper is good for Dirk Nowitzki. It is not a three. He's passed Akeem Olajuwon and is the highest scoring foreign-born player in NBA history.
Yes, you heard it there on the broadcast for the Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki on this day in November 11th of 2014. Dirk Nowitzki becomes the top international scorer in NBA history and moves past Akeem Olajuwon into ninth on the all-time scoring list. Nowitzki scored 23 points in the Dallas Mavericks' win over the Sacramento Kings on that day. Of course, Dirk, one of the greats of all time, one of the great scorers. You know, maybe some players have superseded him in terms of international all-time greats. Some players are more well-rounded games, but Dirk gets underrated in terms of his overall impact. And those Mavericks teams with him were consistent playoff teams for about 10 to 15 years in the West and contenders for a lot of that as well. So Dirk, a fantastic career, should not undercut him in any way. And that is it for our show. Thank you all again for listening, for being patient as we got caught up on everything today. Can't thank you enough for your support on the show. With that, we'll rest up, get, you know, hopefully get my voice recalibrated and reset to get back into a normal schedule. We'll be back with you on Wednesday for our normal Wednesday show. We'll recap Monday through Wednesday's games. Again, thank you for listening, and we'll be back with you then.